May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn 329. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled. Hymn 329.
Let us read together from the Word of God, the Lamentations of Jeremiah, reading from chapter 3. And we will read down to verse 42, the Lamentations. Jeremiah chapter 3, reading down to verse 42. I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me, and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places, as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about, that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait, and as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways, and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was a derision to all my people and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. My soul hath them still in remembrance, and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence, because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth in the dust, if so be there may be hope. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is filled full with reproach. The Lord will not cast off for ever, but though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men, to crush under his feet all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the right of a man before the face of the Most High, to subvert a man in his cause, the Lord approveth not. Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass, when the Lord commandeth it not? Out of the mouth of the Most High proceedeth not evil and good. Wherefore doth a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins? Let us search and try our ways, and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. We have transgressed and have rebelled. Thou hast not pardoned. May the Lord bless that reading of his word of truth to us, and help us to call upon him at the throne of his grace. O Lord, our God, we come before thee, Lord, feeling our need of thee at this time, to appear for each one of us, to draw each of our hearts and our minds up unto thyself, that we might know what it is again for our poor souls to live. Therefore, with thy favour is life. And O Lord, our God, we want to feel that life spiritual and eternal in our poor souls, that our souls again might be enlightened, may be brought and drawn near to thee, and that each one of us at this time may feel a need of thee, to approach unto thee, in whatever state and condition that we are found in at this time, that thou wilt come to each one of us, Lord, the Son of Righteousness arising with healing in his wings. O Lord, do come to us, do undertake our cause and interest at this time. We come before thee, Lord, with nothing in our hands, no good thing to plead before thee, Lord. No works of righteousness, Lord, or we are brought to the solemn truth time and again, that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. O Lord, what a mercy, Lord, it is that one in such a state and condition can flee unto thee and for mercy, and that mercy that is able to bring us and make us sensible of our sin, and to plead for that pardon through thy blood, to cleanse us and to heal us, Lord, from all sin and defilement. And that, Lord, is our mercy at this time. And we thank thee, Lord, that thou art faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. O Lord, we come with no good thing, nothing in our hands, Lord, but oh, what a mercy, Lord, we do come with something. It will be a mercy to come with a faith and love in our hearts for thyself, for the blessedness of thy person. Oh, that there alone, Lord, thy love to sinners at Calvary, able to melt our hearts, able, Lord, to subdue, to humble us under thy mighty hand, to bring us, Lord, before thee as poor, needy sinners, looking again to thee for thy help and thy grace sufficient to come to us, Lord, to bring us near to Thee, that we might this time be enabled to feast upon Thee in the gospel of Thy grace. Feast upon Thy merits, upon Thy person, Lord, and all that Thou didst come to do for sinners at Calvary's tree. Oh, may we each be brought and drawn, Lord Jesus, to see Thee in our room and place at Calvary. Oh, Lord, we do believe that there are some here who have known the wonderment of that grace that saves sinners. Sovereign, free grace, love to sinners. The love of our God shown to us in the person of His dearly beloved Son. And that saving grace to change us, to convert us, to bring us to Thy cross, and to know that grace that shows pardon and peace to sinners through Thy precious sin-atoning blood. But Lord, we do pray that each and every one that are gathered here may be brought also into the blessing. The youngest, Lord, to the eldest, we prayerfully commit into Thine ever merciful hands, that, Lord, Thou wouldest come. We know that there is a remnant through grace, Lord. And we know, Lord, that Thy choice is sovereign. We know, Lord, that Thou hast ordained a people who shall be gathered to Thee and love Thy name. O Lord, we pray that it may be each and every one that gathers here, that they might know Thee in Thy free sovereign grace shown to us at Calvary, and that there may be that rejoicing again over one sinner that repenteth. We pray, Lord, revive Thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy, Lord. That mercy of our God, who is a God like unto Thee, that pardoneth iniquity, that passeth by the transgression of the remnant of His heritage, that delighteth in mercy, retaining not Thine anger for ever. O Lord, do come amongst us, save and redeem, and that there may be those, Lord Jesus, that shall be enabled to say and to speak what Christ has done for them. We do believe, Lord, that we have come together in the ordinance of Thy house this morning because we have a need of Thee, Lord. And we do pray in Thy rich mercy, work in and amongst us. Reveal the precious things of Christ through Thy Spirit, that they might be applied to our poor hearts, and that we may be enabled, Lord Jesus, to know the blessing and the truth, to rejoice in Thy salvation. Do, Lord, then come to each one of us. Thou knowest the exercise of our hearts as we come to Thy house of prayer this morning. Thou hast heard our prayers in the pews of Thy house. O Lord, do hear, Lord, and do answer. Come to each need, Lord, and we do pray that they may be those prayers through faith. Faith in thy name and faith in thy person and faith, Lord, that thou art able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we think or ask, nothing being too hard for thee. O Lord Jesus, thou hast promised to hear the prayers of the poor and the needy. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. Help each and every one of us to wait upon thee, Lord, and that thou wilt come in thy time and pleasure. Favour Zion, and favour Zion, Lord, with new converts, we pray thee. So be pleased to be with us this morning, Lord. We thank thee for the Lord's day. Oh, may we know that separation from all things else beside, and do help us to seek thee, Lord, and that we may each be enabled to partake of thy gospel grace and know that to be such a great blessing. And Lord, that the things of Jesus Christ may be revealed to us and through his Spirit, and that we may each learn and know of thee, that there is, Lord, and according to thy word, a going on to know the Lord that came before us this morning. O Lord, do help us each, that there may be a going on to know the Lord. Do grant, Lord, those further testimonies and revelations of thy love and mercy. Do, Lord, bless to us those great and gracious promises that we have sung together in our first hymn. And Lord, we think of the great mercy that has been shown to us thus far as we sang that hymn together. In every place, in every experience, in every trial, in every difficulty, in all the path that we have taken, there has been a measure of help, sufficient grace. There's been the gracious promises to lean upon, to trust in, that thou hast shown unto us. And he is faithful that hath promised, thou hast never let down thy people, thou wilt never leave them nor forsake them, thou wilt never depart from their side, but thou wilt stand with them. And Lord, we thank thee that thou hast stood with us thus far and all our journey through, and that, Lord, though we have been brought to realize the solemn truth of temptation, of sin, and the truth, Lord, of the evils of our own heart by nature, the body of sin and death within us, Lord, that we bear with us and which we mourn over, Lord, day by day, and yet none has been enabled to sever our poor souls from thy love, which thou hast first cast upon us. And Lord, that is our mercy. O Lord, help us to confess and help us to repent our many sins and iniquities. Be with thy church and people here, Lord. Undertake for them, Lord. We do pray that there may be a growth and an added in numbers to them. And we pray, Lord, that there may be a spiritual prosperity in each of our souls to learn and to know of thee. It was the desire of thy servant Paul that I might know him, the power of his resurrection, fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Oh, do help us, Lord, and Lord, do be with those, Lord, that manage thy cause and interest here. Be with David and, Lord, the ministerial engagements, the concerns of thy house. Give him grace to manage. And also that prayerful concern over every soul that dwelleth here. O Lord, do keep and preserve him. And we do pray, Lord, be our helper now. We pray that thy gospel may be proclaimed forth this day. Help each of thy sent servants to minister forth that good news of salvation, the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. Be mouth matter and wisdom for them, each and every one. Feed the flock of slaughter with spiritual meat and drink in Jesus, that true manna that came down from heaven. Lord, give a portion to each of the souls of thy people to do them good, to build them up, to edify them in the things of Jesus and his salvation. Do help thy servant, Lord, to speak in thy name thy word of truth. O Lord, put thy treasure in his earthen vessel, the treasure, the rich treasure of thy word. And oh, we do pray that through thy Spirit take of that word and apply it to the hearts of thy people here, that it may do them good, spiritually and inwardly in their souls, a spiritual strengthening with might in the inner man. And so, Lord, do come to each one of us. May sower and reaper rejoice together. Be with each unable to attend at this time, wheresoever they are. Be with them, Lord. May they feel and know thy presence, and that thou art always to thy people a very present help in time of trouble. We ask these mercies in and through the name and person of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn 236. Faith's a convincing proof, a substance sound and sure, that keeps the soul secured enough, but makes it not secure. Hymn 236.
seeking the help of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, who would seek to draw your attention to the Lamentations of Jeremiah, chapter 3, reading from verse 24. Lamentations, chapter 3, reading from verse 24. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. Jeremiah was a true and a faithful minister and prophet of the Lord. He spake every word that the Lord gave him to speak. And he was a prophet that did bear the burden of the word of the Lord. Because the most part of his ministry, he had to speak of judgment, of justice, of God's righteousness, and also of God's promises. And some of God's promises are those promises which are not only encouraging to faith, but those promises where the Lord will promise to judge his people for their sins and iniquities, and when he will come upon them and bring to pass those things that he will speak of. And in this instance, it was in respect of Jeremiah and much of his prophecy that captivity which the children of Israel should be led into. There may appear to have been very little fruit in Jeremiah's prophecy. Very little fruit. Very few heard and received his word. We think of the days of Noah, when the Lord gave commandment to him to build an ark, for he had seen the wickedness in the land, and that he would judge in respect of that wickedness. Noah preached over 100 years in the building of the ark. He preached righteousness. His word was unheeded. They were marrying and giving in marriage. They were building and so forth, till the door of the ark was closed, and then sudden destruction. His ministry seemed to be of no fruits, but he was still faithful to the Lord. One of the truths from this I want to say to you: listen to the Lord's servants, hearken to them. They bear the word of the Lord. And in his word, dear friends, there is a remedy for the malady of sin. The children of Israel had sinned and offended against the Lord. They had turned their back upon him. They were those that had been given to idols and idolatry, and that they no longer sought the Lord. The solemn truth is that they never saw their sin in respect of these things. Their sin was, as it were, hidden, and it was in their hearts, and their hearts were hardened against the Lord and against the prophecies of the Lord. Dear friends, sin has brought in ruin and chaos in the whole of the earth. That sin is found within us by nature. And there is only one remedy for the malady of sin, and that is Jesus Christ and his cross. Listen, dear friends, to the words of the Lord's servants. For today that grace is preached. It is free grace to sinners, to undeserving sinners, wretched sinners, undone sinners, vile sinners, evil sinners. Grace should come to such, according to the free love and mercy of our God, in the person of his dearly beloved Son. Hearken to the words of the Lord's servants. The children of Israel were now led into captivity. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. We have transgressed and have rebelled. Thou hast not pardoned, friend. Seek the Lord's pardon. It is in the person of his dearly beloved Son. In him and him alone, there is forgiveness of sins. I want to speak of the blessings that came upon Jeremiah, a faithful minister, and there were those also. There's always been a remnant in the earth, dear friends, who would serve God, walk in his ways, and that their souls would delight in him. In his worship, following the judgments of God that had come upon his people, Jeremiah, yes, a good, faithful prophet, was brought to lament. Dear friends, cry before the Lord that his own brethren, his own people, could fall into such sin and judgment from the Lord. Jeremiah could say this truth: the Lord is my portion. What a mercy it is. The Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. That is why Jeremiah could say this truth, that the Lord is my portion, because the Lord's portion is his people. He began with them, you see. That's the difference. If we go back to the beginning in respect of Jeremiah, we will see a wonderful truth. How that Jeremiah is able to say that the Lord is my portion. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. This is a wonderful truth, dear friends. And we each may be exercised to know this truth for ourselves in a very real and personal way, because we want to know this truth. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. What a mercy it is to be known of God and to be loved of God before time began. To be brought into the sacred knowledge of that truth. Because, dear friends, this is the beginning of all real and true religion today. It isn't what man can do for God. We're sinners by nature. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. Yes, to be a prophet, but also before that, dear friends, there was this truth, sanctified and set apart to be one of God's children. Wonderful truth. I sanctified thee. He was set apart in God's love, in God's affection. And he was under God's favour even before time began, because a covenant of grace was made in respect of him and in respect of the whole church, that they were set apart, sanctified to be his people. And the effect of that was in time. The experience of it is in time. The blessing of it is in time, when God will meet with us and show to us our need as sinners. And friends, there will be an exercise in our souls in respect of sin. It is only the Lord, the Holy Spirit, that will bring us into that exercise. We will all be differing in respect of that. But one truth will be made known. Sin will be known and felt, dear friends, in the soul. Because that is what Jesus came to do, to put away sin. And we shall be brought to feel that sin. Jeremiah knew the Lord to be his Saviour and his Redeemer. And he prophesied of a Saviour and Redeemer, didn't he? He prophesied of that branch of righteousness, the dear Lord Jesus. And he is our righteousness. And it is through his sufferings and death, his perfect offering and sacrifice for our sins and iniquities, that the church, in the course of time, will be redeemed and saved, blessed with pardon and peace in their souls. And Christ, through his perfect obedience and sacrifice, weaving that robe of righteousness for them. And that is here the truth in respect of Jeremiah and the whole of the church, from the beginning of time to the end of time. They must stand perfect and whole in and through the righteousness of Jesus. And then can we see the blessing of this word? The Lord is my portion. You know, when the Lord has come to any poor sinner and espoused that sinner to Christ through the gospel, and that poor sinner has known their peace and pardon through the blood of Jesus, then the Lord is my portion. And what a beautiful portion the Lord is to that poor sinner. I was about 3 weeks, dear friends. The time of my espousals. A wonderful 3 weeks. Christ was everything to my poor soul. He was all in all. There was none like unto him. My portion. It was in my heart, in my thoughts, in my prayers, in my love, in my affections, all in all. And I shall never forget that time. The Lord is my portion. And dear friends, the Lord is our portion, meaning our share, and he cannot be shared with any other. He is our portion, wholly and completely. Cannot be shared, dear friends. It's personal. He is our portion. And this truth in respect of this word, we know and understand the greatness and the blessedness of God's love to our poor souls in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. And dear friends, that love will overwhelm the soul of a sinner. And every other love will be subservient to it. There will be no greater love than Christ's love to thy soul. The Lord has given to us our relationships, man and wife, families, children, relations, friends, brethren, spiritual relationships, spiritual love, an endearing of our hearts to them, a loving of them. But that love, dear friends, must be subservient to the love of Christ. It must be. He is thy first love. There is none other. The Lord is my portion. It must be. My beloved is mine, and I am his. It must be. Christ cannot be shared, dear friends. It cannot be a part portion. It must be a whole portion. Another word in respect of this, if I can just remember the word. What is thy beloved more than another beloved? O thou fairest among women, what is thy beloved more than another beloved, that thou dost so charge us? Dear friends, the Lord is our portion. There isn't any other. No. Yes, we have our wonderful relationships and affections and love to each other here below as brethren and so forth. Wonderful. And particularly when the Lord has brought us together. Union and fellowship. But this love, what is thy beloved more than another beloved? Is there another one, dear friends? Is there anything else that will come in between? Is there something else first in thy heart? My beloved is white and ruddy. the chiefest among 10,000. Oh, there is none like unto him, the chiefest among 10,000, the altogether lovely one. This is the blessing, my portion. The Lord is my portion. He is our all in all. And there is none like unto him. There is none can be compared with him. As the apple tree amongst the trees of the wood, so is my beloved amongst the sons. None to be compared to him. It is thy soul and thy Lord. The Lord is my portion. You see, all the trouble and all the trial that Jeremiah passed through here, and dear friends, the times that they sought to take his life in the dungeon, in the prison house, dear friends, many that opposed him, dear friends, who brought him through it all? The Lord is my portion, you see. It was his Lord. The Lord kept him. The Lord watched over him. The Lord preserved him. The Lord helped him. Why, he's fulfilling a promise. And the Lord will not let down his people in respect of the promise. He says, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And that was when he was a young man, just prior to sending him into the ministry. The Lord did not fail him and let him down. And Jeremiah now can say and repeat this, the Lord is my portion. He has kept me. He has been faithful to me. He has delivered me. He has brought me through. Yes, it has been a hard path. It has been a path of tribulation, a path of trial. But he has brought me through. None other, dear friends, none other. Oh, he saw his faithful God. Let us just see another truth in respect of this. What a mercy it is to be brought into that wonderful place to say that our Father which art in heaven, that was where Jeremiah was brought, to see that God was his God. And dear friends, do we want to know and to behold God to be our God? The God who is unapproachable and the God who is unknowable except through the person of his dearly beloved Son. You see, to be one of God's children is a wonderful mercy. My God, my Father, blissful name, oh, may I call thee mine. May I with sweet assurance claim a portion so divine. Dear friends, Jesus has predestinated us into the adoption of children. We belong to God, we are his children. Jesus said to Mary, go to my brethren, tell them I ascend unto my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God. You see, wonderful blessing, taken into divine ownership. The Lord is my portion. And dear friends, just one or two truths in respect of this, that the Lord is my portion, that in all things he shall have the preeminence. The preeminence, the first place, the first thought, the first desire, the first love, the preeminence above everything else, that in all things he should have the preeminence, because the Lord is my portion, because the Lord is first and foremost in everything. He shall be in our lives, in our path, in our walk, in our conversation, in our worship, in our love and devotion to him. For he is thy first love. There is none other. And he shall have the preeminence in all things. Thou wilt put him first. First. There's no debating. First. Whatsoever in our worship, first now, the Lord, he shall be worshipped. Have we come in that true sincerity of heart and of mind to be found at his feet and to worship him with a contrite spirit? Is he first? He will be first upon this his day, the Lord's day. All worship, love and devotion will be towards him first. He is first. He must be first. The Lord is my portion, you see. It's very personal. Is he first in our homes, in our household? Is he first? I went into, many years ago, we visited one of our ministers, and in the porchway and over the top of the door, it said, Christ is the head over this house. First, my portion. Christ, you see, is that the truth with us? The Lord is my portion. The Lord is my portion in this way, in every matter that concerns us, in our lives here below. Yes, worship in particular, but in every matter, in every way of providence, that he shall have the preeminence in all things. To go to him, to commit all to him. Why? Because the Lord is my portion. We belong to him, not to ourselves. He is managing and directing all our affairs and our concerns here below. We are in his hands. The Lord is my portion. Commit everything to the Lord. Everything. Whatsoever it might be. One of our ministers once said that if he were to tell anyone everything that he committed to the Lord, they would laugh at him. Why? Because he committed to the Lord every single little thing. Things that we might seem to think so minor. And yet, he went to the Lord with them. The Lord is my portion. It is he, dear friends, that will manage us and direct us in our path and journeying here below. Another truth in respect of this, that the Lord is our King. We must acknowledge him to be so. A king, dear friends, or a queen, or a monarch of the earth. They rule and reign over a people or a nation. But, dear friends, they are only familiar to those within the enclosure of their own circle. Sadly, but our Lord is King of Kings, and he rules and reigns over us because we belong to him, because he is so acquainted with us, the very hairs of your head all numbered. He is so near to his people, knows everything about them, but the love of his heart is always upon them, and his eye is always upon the faithful of the land. Always. He is a constant companion and friend to his people. He is a king that rules and reigns for us in heaven's high court above. And he is presiding over all our steps. All our path is with him. Each and every footstep is with him. He is our King and our King Supreme. The Lord is my portion. And in all his business in the whole of the earth, is managing everything, ruling and overruling, bringing to pass his purposes and his counsels in and amongst men, is overruling what is not consistent with his will. Who for? For thee, for me. The Lord is my portion. Dear friends, as we journey on, we will find and discover this truth day by day, that yes, he is a King Jesus unto us, and that he is ruling for and on our part. And we will be brought to pass through trials and difficulties as Jeremiah here was. It wasn't a comfortable path by any means. But dear friends, we shall be brought to pass through tribulations. The Lord Jesus said that in the world ye shall have tribulation. And it shall be so. We will be found, dear friends, enemies without, world, flesh, Satan, yes, enemies without, his temptations, the snares that he will lay at our feet. And then, dear friends, the solemn truth of that is in our own hearts by nature. How can we ever continue? We feel, dear friends, betimes, to be such failures. Sin mixed with all that we think and say and do. The corruptions of our hearts by nature. The evil surmisings. The workings of sin. But the Lord is my portion because He is a refuge for our poor souls, something to lean upon, something to trust in, someone to come to. Because sin, dear friends, will never be that that shall be of any comfort whatsoever to the soul of one who has been divinely wrought upon by the Lord. They hate sin, abhor sin. But we have a refuge, an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. The Lord is my portion. And in respect of that truth, He will be our portion to the end of our days. We have someone to flee to. Someone, dear friends, who, like the publican, will be blessed with peace and pardon to his soul as he returned to his house justified. That is what we will want. And then we will discover again and again that the peace of God passeth all understanding, that the Lord comes to us so often and pardons our sins. There will be another blessing shown to us, dear friends, that the Lord is our portion. As we come to the Lord's house, the church saith, draw me, we will run after me, after thee. Dear friends, there will be a running only when there is a drawing influence of His Spirit upon us. But the King hath brought me into His chambers. Dear friend, is it here where thy soul doth delight in thy Lord, in the ordinances of His house, in the word and truth of His gospel, as He speaks to us? The Lord is my portion. Can we say that, dear friends, as we have come to His house? Is He our portion? You see, our portion for good. Is it Christ that we have come to seek and to partake of this morning? That we want to know more of His love and more of His grace and more of His love and mercy, more of His truth and promises in our soul. The King hath brought me into His chambers. I just take that word and move it over to another word. He hath brought me into His banqueting house, and His banner over me was love. Oh, have we been brought there, dear friends? His banner over me was love. His love pervades over us, because in and through His word, the blessed and glorious revelations of a crucified Christ for sinners, in the room and place of sinners, in what He came to do for sinners, and all that He has prepared for sinners in heaven, because through His cross, He has given them life spiritual and life eternal. And that, dear friends, is the anticipation of our spirit, what He has done and what is to come for us. The Lord is my portion. Is He our portion now? And is He our portion forever? You know there is none like unto Him, dear friends. No, He changes not. He is faithful and true. We change, but we have a faithful friend who is unchangeable. That is our mercy. But what he has done for his people, he has done forever. Once in him forever. And it cannot be changed. The mercy is, dear friends, is he our portion now? The Lord is my portion. Has he pardoned our sins, washed them away in his precious blood? The Lord is my portion. I think of a wonderful truth, dear friends, and this was David's blessing to his soul when the Lord delivered him from all his enemies. He said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower." Can a poor soul ever be lost, dear friends, under the blessing of that word? Think of it, look at it in Psalm 18 and verse 2. See what David was able to claim for his own soul. "The Lord is my portion, saith my soul." Is it thy soul? And that is all that David needed. That is what brought David through that vast wilderness all those many years. And not an enemy could touch him. No. He was preserved. The Lord put a wall of fire around him. Kept a buckler, a stronghold, a high tower. Oh, the Lord is my portion. There is none like unto him. And friends, if the Lord isn't your portion at this time, seek him that he might be your portion. You will need him. You will need him, dear friends. The Lord, his promise of the captivity to the children of Israel, it came to pass. There is a promise, dear friends, in respect of a judgment for all sin. And this is the blessing to anyone brought to feel their need of Jesus and that hell that is deserving to us. Peace and pardon through his blood. Let Christ be thy portion. Come to him. I just go to Psalm 73, because what about our falls, our mountain slips, our failings, our shortcomings, our poor hearts wandering into the world? We learn, dear friends, that we cannot keep ourselves. In Psalm 73, the psalmist was a true man of God. It begins that psalm with this word, "Truly God is good to Israel." And I believe that he could bear testimony to that truth, because that man fell. "As for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had nigh well slipped. For I was envious at the foolish, and I saw the prosperity of the wicked." His poor heart had gone. You know, the Lord came to him. He went into the sanctuary of the Lord. And the Lord told him the end of the wicked. But he also showed to him further and later in that psalm the blessedness that belonged unto him. And this is the truth in verse 26. "My flesh and my heart faileth." And the Lord's dear people know what that is. Heart and flesh failing. Yes, dear friends, the solemn truth of sin, the evil in our hearts, the proneness of our hearts to wander, be given to all manner of thing, going into the world, seeing their prosperity, seeing how well they get on, you see. And then this truth, my flesh and my heart faileth. It may be literally and in our bodies. Yes, weakness, infirmities, sickness and disease. But oh, this truth, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. What a wonderful experience it was brought out of it. But he was brought to know more and more of the love of his God. You know, he was brought to know this truth, that the everlasting, that God, the eternal God, is his refuge. And underneath the everlasting arms, those arms that he could never fall through and pass through, dear friends, those arms that held him up even though he fell. Yes. He said, nevertheless, I am continually with thee. It wasn't that he was with the Lord. It was that the Lord was with him. Covenant, dear friends. Covenant of grace. And my portion forever, he said. And it means ever. Life everlasting. The Lord is my portion forever. He will never let go of his dear children. Whilst they pass through this veil of tears, he will never let go of them. No, he holds them in his hands, bears them up and carries them, delivers them. Yes, portion forever. Isn't there something here, dear friends, that is so, such a blessing to the souls of the Lord's dear people? The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. He is our keeper, dear friends, and he will bring us to the end of our days. And then this is why I could hope in him. Therefore will I hope in him. This hope, dear friends, it is a real grace of the Spirit. Faith, hope and charity. I do believe that those three gracious blessings and those gifts of the Spirit are those that the Lord will bless to his people to bring them through their course. Faith, hope and charity. We've been singing of faith. Oh, dear friends, this is a God-given faith, a gift. But hope, it is a hope in the Lord. It isn't a hope in things that we can see, dear friends, because that isn't hope. But it is a hope, dear friends, in those things that we cannot see. A hope in our God. And we cannot see him, but we know him. We know him through Jesus. And we know his love through Jesus, whom having not seen, ye love. And our hope is in what he's done for us. And now, how that he will bring us through our course. It is a hope, dear friends, that rests in and upon him. And upon his person and his merits. It is a hope, dear friends. I'm trying to think of the word in that the Lord gave unto the church at Colossae through Paul. This truth. And be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard. Why is that, dear friend? Because the hope holds everything that Jesus has done for thy soul. The gospel holds hope, dear friends, in every part and aspect of thy life. Because Thou hast a hope in him who will keep thee and preserve thee from all evil. Jeremiah was still to go forth. He prophesied for about 41 years plus, and he was a faithful minister. But dear friends, his trials were not over. No. And his hope was in his Lord to bring him through his course. That is what this is. And our only hope is in the gospel. And it is a hope, dear friends, that is an anchor to the soul. And this hope, dear friends, is a hope to hang on to lean upon, to trust in. It is a hope of those things that Jesus has done and prepared for us. A hope to the end. David was in trouble. In Psalm 42, it's believed that it was a psalm written at the time of his son Absalom, who drove him from the throne. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, hope in his strength. Look up, dear friends, not at the trouble, but look to him, hope in him, because the Lord has everything in hand concerning us. He is managing. And there was no need for his poor soul to be disquieted within. His hope was in his God. And he is our hope. And he will bring us through our course. And I just close with this word. It is a word that brought Paul with such comfort and peace and blessing to his soul, that the Lord would bring him to the end of his days. And he had a hope in the Lord, that he preserved and kept his soul in life. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. It was a certainty upon his spirit, dear friends. It was a hope. It was a good hope. It was a hope, dear friends, that was cast above the veil. A hope in his precious Lord, his portion forever, to bring him through his course. And he will. To whom be glory forever and ever. That is the glory shown by the church. Glory forever and ever. Glory here. Glory everlasting. Every generation of time shall glorify God in all the deliverances that he will bring us through here below, to bring us to heaven and to where he is. And this was the hope that was blessed to Jeremiah. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord had brought him through so much till here. He knew that the Lord would bring him all his journey through. Hope in the Lord. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. May the Lord be our portion forever. Therefore will I hope in him. Dear friends, seekers here, turn ye to the stronghold. There is thy hope, dear friends. And it is there where the Lord will appear for his people. Just turn to that word and finish upon it as it was just coming to my mind. Every church that I go to, dear friends, and preach the gospel, the Lord does always give to me a thought and a word for the seekers in Zion, to encourage them to the Lord. Turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. It is by and through the blood of the covenant that I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit. Only he can save, the blood of the covenant, even that blood that Jesus shed. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £776.50, for which we are very thankful. God willing, there'll be special services tomorrow at 3 o'clock and 6:15. Tea will be provided and collections taken for the Bethesda Short Stay Fund and the minister, Mr. Pocock. And God willing, our friend Mr. Ince will preach again next Lord's Day and administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. Let us close with hymn 351. The sinner that by precious faith has felt his sins forgiven is manifestly passed from death and sealed an heir of heaven. Hymn 351.
grace, Lord Jesus, love of God the Father, fellowship and communion, God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each one of us, now and forever. Amen.